the time. He is so good, so gracious, so merciful to us. I think let's look at Romans chapter 8 right quick. We'll just start there, I guess, as good a place as any. I saw something last night I never saw before, but it's going to be down in the latter part of what we get to. But we're going to start here in Romans chapter 8. And I got that in the King James and the Amplified, Beth. So we'll start it in the King James. I'm going to read verse 4 just for a little bit. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now listen to verse 4 and 5 in Amplified. It says, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit, our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. It says, for those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds. Y'all notice that. It says, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now, let's see. I think I want to go to Colossians 3. I've got this one in the Amplified. If you don't have Amplified, best putting it on the screen for us. I'm going to start in verse 1. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, have you? Yeah, if you've been born again, you've been raised to a new life. So he's talking to you. He says, thus sharing his resurrection, we know that from what, Romans 6? He says, from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It says, and set your minds. Now, that's the third time we've heard that statement, right, in three verses. What does that mean? You know, sometimes I think we just read over and look over things too much. What does that mean to you to set your mind? For an example, last week, I had one of the worst weeks of warfare in my mind that I have had in a long time. Long time. What do I mean by that? I would get out. Gosh, where'd they go? I would get out of the bed, and it would be like, by the time I got my coffee and started sipping my coffee, all these thoughts would just start flooding my mind. I'm not even awake good yet. You know, thoughts of this and thoughts of that and thoughts about people at church, and then later on, I would catch it, and it would be like, you're just so awful. Why did you say that? And being reminded of things that I say up behind the pulpit and things that I say at home or things that I do, and it'd just be like, why do you do that? You should have not have done that. You should have not have. I mean, just on and on and on, and I'm like, when I finally got awake good, I'm like, hey, I know who you are. This is not God. How many knows that God don't do you like that? Anytime he's wanting to show you something where you're doing wrong or he wants it changed or something like that, how many knows it's not a condemning, it is a conviction and a convincing that this is right, and he'll help you do that. But how many knows the Bible says the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He comes to accuse us before God, before each other, right? Husbands and wives, children and families and stuff like all the time. So you have to set your mind. What I mean by that is what I had to do was I realized this is not me. This is not God. I know who this is, and I make a choice. And so out of my mouth, I said, thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. I will not think on these thoughts any longer. I will not allow them to play to the devil to play the tape in my head or just play these thoughts over and over and over. How many knows, just like whenever we was on that about the sower sows the word for so long and everything, whatever you allow in your ears and meditate on in your mind, it eventually get down in your heart. That's why you can't meditate, think thoughts about adultery all the time and not end up sooner or later committing adultery. Why? Because Joyce Meyer says it this way, wherever the mind goes, the man follows. Right? Monty was talking about the mind last week. Well, I get over that one last week. I had that. I think it started Sunday morning. And it was like in here, I usually have, I guess y'all do too probably, but I usually have on the inside here an awareness of his presence most all the time. Just, you know, sometimes stronger than others. I did not have that week. And it was like every time I had to make a decision, I would look in here, but it was kind of like nobody's saying nothing. And when these thoughts would come, and I would think about them, and I'm trying to discern, is this God? I'm not talking about the ones that was condemning me. All kinds of thoughts. We make choices all day long, whether you eat Cheerios or toast or you wear a dress or pants. I mean, you got decisions all day long. And I try, you know, all day long to, you know, see if I got something inside about it. But when I would look, it's like there's nothing. And I'm like, this is strange. How many knows during the test the teacher's quiet because you done been told the answers? Thank you, Monty. Y'all went to school, didn't you? Well, when you went to school, didn't you learn 2 + 2 and all that? And then you would have a test on it, and the teacher ain't teaching nothing. She or he's quiet. Why? Because now you got to come up with the answers. Because I done gave you the answers, but during the test, the teacher's quiet. I had this go on all week long. I think it started Sunday all week long until, well, I got control of it and all that. And I would have to cast those thoughts down all day long. This is where a lot of people mess up. You must, like Monty was talking about, think on those things that are good, lovely, good report, pure. You know, all those things, and think on the Word. God told Joshua, he said, if you meditate in my Word day and night, he said, then you will make your way prosperous. Well, if you don't meditate on the Word, you will be meditating on something. You know, some people think, well, I can't think on the Lord or the Word day and night. Yes, you can, because you're thinking on something all the time. When you sleep, your brain's not asleep. It's called dreaming. That's why you dream. It doesn't stop. It doesn't sleep. It just continues. You are constantly thinking on something, but you must choose to set your mind on what you're going to think on. And once you do that, when a thought comes or a feeling comes, you say, no, we don't think on that. Say if it's something, I don't know, just like Sandy, I think it was last week you said you even thought or had the feeling God don't love you, but you knew better, you know, or whatever. Well, how many knows the Word takes care of that? The Bible says you have been accepted in the Beloved, that God loves us just as much as he loved Jesus, right? So we know that. Whenever he's telling you God doesn't love you, you got to come back, not with a thought, but with a word coming out of your mouth. And it don't necessarily have to be a written scripture, but it must be in line with the written scripture, right? Well, there's this song by Brother Keith Moore. Y'all can look it up if you want to. It's a very good song. I like the song. I think it was either the first or the second day that was happening to me. I think it was the second day. I got my coffee. I sat down there sipping my coffee, and I got all these thoughts running through my mind that it's not the Lord and all that stuff. And I catch it, you know, and I set my mind that I'm not going to think on these things. I'm going to think on the Lord. Yo, you don't know what I'm talking about. Don't let this be too shallow for you. Because, see, whatever plays up here long enough will get in here. That's why I said you can't think about adultery for hours and days on end and months and years and not end up doing it. Why? Because you meditated on it up here. You didn't stop it, and it went down, and it got in your heart. And then you do it. Well, anyway, I didn't meditate on those. And I stopped them and everything. And then the next thing that happened, I knew those was going on in my head. They're not going on in here. The next thing that happened was, right here, I felt it. It started coming up, and it's a song by Brother Keith Moore, and it says, I'm keeping my mind stayed on the Lord. And how many knows, I know for me, a lot of times, it's not a scripture that I play over and over in my head when I'm meditating on the Lord. It'll be a song. Just like another good one is, that song, The Goodness of God, very good song to meditate. Because one thing that you're trying to do is keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord. And for me, a lot of times, it's easier with a song that is of the Lord, you know, or something like that. So you got to stop that because you got to set it. Because if you don't set it, God won't set it. It's not his mind. It belongs to you. it belongs to me. I did not know that for a lot of years, and that's why I had a lot of problems that I have. But when you make the choice and you set your mind, look where he says to set it at. Go on here with this. Verse 2. He says, and set your minds, he says, and keep them set. Why? Because just because you cast it out a thought once or twice don't mean it's not going to come back. The Bible says about Jesus that the devil come to tempt him, and when he got nowhere, he left him for a more opportune time or a season. He'll come back. He says, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not these lower things, not about what you eat, not about what you wear, not about where you work, all this stuff. It's a mindset. The Bible says, I think Monty quoted it last week, have this same mind in you as what Christ had. Was he concerned about any of those things? Absolutely not. I mean, they need tax. Peter needs tax money. He says, go fishing. He knew. He had a mindset. Everything I need has already been provided. Everything you need has already been provided. It's just, are you going to take it or not? And he goes on here, and he says, not on things that are on the earth. He says, for as far as this world is concerned, you have died. And your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in the splendor of his glory. I think I want to go to 2 Timothy now. Second Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 6. Now, just to give you a little bit of context to this, this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. Now, Timothy was a young man that Paul knew his mother, his grandmother, his parents, and all that. And Timothy had followed him, walked with him, been his disciple, so to speak, you know, for I don't know how long. And then now he's being set as a pastor. But look here in verse 6. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, talking to Timothy, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, we're going to read that again in the Amplified real slow. Verse 7. For God did not give us, did y'all get that? All of us have been given the same spirit if you've been born again. The devil will tell you, you don't have what everybody else has. Y'all not saying nothing. Everybody else has something more than what you got. No, they don't. We all got the same spirit that we got born again. It says us, he says, a spirit. Notice that. A spirit of timidity. What's that mean? Kind of like, he says, goes on and he says, of cowardice, of craving, and cringing, and fawning fear. He says, but he has, this is past tense, if you've been born, it's already been given. You have it now, that spirit. He says, but he has given us, again, a spirit of power. I looked up this word power right here in this verse, and it said miraculous power. And of love, and of a calm and well-balanced mind. You already have it. He goes, discipline and self-control. I want to read you some things that I wrote down here. I saw this last night, and this is where my revelation started. I hope it's one to y'all too, or maybe y'all already seen it and just ain't told me yet. I don't know, but it was good to me. But what I saw when I read this was, y'all remember the cartoon Tom and Jerry? Yeah? That's how old we are, don't we? Some of us. Anyway, when I read this, it's like I saw in my spirit like a wall and like the Tom and Jerry cartoon, and it was only Jerry there, and it had a little cutout just like it did in the cartoon, and there's Jerry sitting there, and he's like this. Y'all ever seen a rat when it's scared? Y'all don't have no rats, okay? I'm the only one who had rats before. They're just like this, you know. Their little whiskers are moving, and they're just balled up in a ball like this, and they're just terrified. I mean, look how big you are compared to them at this. I'd be scared too. That's what I saw in my spirit, like whenever I read this, and this is talking about God's people. Now y'all ain't saying nothing. Because see, Brother Brad used to tell us this way. He would say, you must believe in the seed that is in you. But see, what the devil likes to do is tell you, you're not this, Johnny. You're not so-and-so, Sandy. You can't preach or teach like so-and-so. God don't want another so-and-so. If he did, he could make him one. He wants a Sandy. Right? That's all he wants. You got to be you. But we have to believe. The Bible says Christ. That's the anointed one. He says lives in our hearts by faith, right? He also goes on and says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But I think a lot of times the devil dupes some of us, and because we let these tapes play in our head by the enemy, and we look at ourselves not in what he's done in us and what he has done for us and on the inside of us. He's on the inside of you right now. Y'all remember the story whenever Scotty was seeking the Lord, you know, and he was reading about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel in the lion's den and all that, and he says, God, where's the power? And God spoke to him. He said, it's in you. But see, if you don't believe in it, it can't come out. Why? Because in your mind, you have this fear. Oh, y'all not saying nothing. As long as I have been doing this for, I don't know, what, 2 weeks after we started, I started doing Sunday school. I think they quit about 2 weeks. So I've been doing this for 20-something years now. Every time I get up here, I have to deal with the spirit of doubt. Why? Because you got a real devil. And he's got to stop you. But see, he says here, the spirit of fear is not in your spirit. This is what I saw. It plays in your head. Why? Because in your spirit, he says right there that he's given you a spirit of love, of power, which is miraculous, it said, miraculous power. And love, we know that to be the love of God. What is it, Romans 5:5? It says the love of God has been shed abroad or poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's already there. We're not waiting to get it. Now, we have to yield to it. We have to exercise on it. We have to feed the word ourselves the Word of God on it, right? Because faith and love, it all can grow. Remember the story, Jesus, the centurion, he said, I've not seen all this great faith in all of Israel. So there's great faith. There's little faith. You know, there's no faith. There's unbelief. And anytime you're going to do something for God and take a step out in faith, there's always going to be there that doubt every single time, whether it's you're giving somebody a word or you're doing a teaching, whatever that the case may be. Why? Because everything you do, you got to do by faith. And the Bible says that the flesh is carnal sense and reasoning. But a lot of times we think of dipping, smoking, getting drunk, going to the bars, adultery. That's not what the Bible says. Now, those things are wrong, and they are of the flesh. But the scripture we just read over there in Romans 8, he said, the mind of the flesh is what? Sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's not us. We're supposed to live out of our spirit, not out of our minds. Now, our minds are supposed to be renewed according to the Word of God. Just like we're supposed to all become of the same mind, too. Not that we all get Johnny's mind or we all get Monty's mind. Help us, Lord. I can't help us. I love Monty. Me and Monty, I pick at Monty. Monty picks at me. Now, Johnny don't pick at me, so I don't pick at Johnny. That's just, Monty told me one time, he said, I'm filling in until your brother gets back. I said, Monty, my brother don't talk to me like you do. He knows better. He's way bigger than me, but he don't talk to me like Monty does. Anyway, can't get off on all that. I ain't got much time. Anyway, he says that the flesh, yielding to the flesh, is yielding to that carnal sense and reasoning without the Holy Spirit. Y'all know what that is, right? Say, for an example, you got a building. You can't figure out how you're going to pay a bill or whatever. So you say you got a 16-foot trailer. What you do? You put it up for sale. Y'all not saying nothing. Y'all must not have lived the way I live. Or I don't wear them now because I got too fat for them. But I did have some wedding rings. That I still got some. But anyway, before we got saved, I had a wedding band, and it had another one, you know, that had the diamond in it and all that you get when you're engaged. Well, I went to the pawn shop and pawned them for $40. Why? I can't figure out no other way to get no money. What is that? That's carnal sense and reasoning. Now, we still did this stuff years after being Christians. Why? Because our mind has to get renewed to what God's Word says. Then we must trust Him and step out in faith. I don't go to the pawn shop. Y'all not saying nothing. You quit going to the pawn shop. Then you start trusting God. Either he's El Shaddai, he will provide, just like he did for Abraham with the ram's thickets in the, the ram's horn caught in the thickets for Isaac. That's when he experienced him as El Shaddai. And God, don't he say, take a bite out of him? Thank you, Samantha. He says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can't ever taste him like that if you keep running to the pawn shop. You can't ever taste him like that if you keep going to somebody or the bank or somebody and borrowing money. Gosh, y'all getting way too quiet. I figured y'all be clapping, hooping, and hollering, all that stuff. Well, I'm telling you, you're way out. But you can't keep doing that carnal sense and reasoning without the Spirit of God. Excuse me. So it's a mindset. Let's see here. Trying to figure out where I want to go because I got a lot of stuff wrote down here. Let's go over to, I think I want to go to Colossians 2. Now, this is the Apostle Paul again, and he's writing to the church at Colossae, not to an individual. Thank you, Monty. This book wasn't wrote to an individual sitting on their couch in their living room. This book was wrote to a church that was gathered together somewhere, right? And this is the Apostle Paul talking to it. Now, the Apostle Paul, he's the one that God chose him to be the minister to the Gentiles, right? Well, here in chapter 2, I'm going to start reading in, for time's sake, I'm going to start reading in verse 8. I don't even want to read this whole thing, but I feel like we need to for context. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. And notice what he's talking about. Jesus told them himself, whenever they washed their hands to the elbows like the surgeons would and all that stuff, you know, and if you didn't do that and you eat, it's going to defile you and all that stuff, you know. And he told them, he said, that's not what defiles you. It's what comes out of you that defiles you. But then he went on and he told them, you know, he said, these traditions, you have exchanged the commandment of God for the traditions of men that makes the word of God of no effect. Now, I'm sure probably in this room and those listening to me by way of internet or whatever, we come from all different kind of backgrounds. Don't y'all think so? You know, even in some people, they come from a traditional Baptist background, you know, or a Pentecostal background, where if you ain't swinging from the chandeliers, you ain't had church yet, you know, and all kinds of stuff, or Methodist, or whatever the case that it may be. But he's telling them here, and what we was talking about was food. He goes on and he says, verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, talking about in Christ, and you are complete in him. Don't take this as, when I got this last night, it was like God was saying this personally to us. And you are complete in him. You are right now complete in him. I didn't say you was perfect. How many knows we're under this building construction till the day we leave here? It says, which is the head of all principality and power, glory to God, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. We know that we have been. It says, wherein also ye are risen, every one of us, if we've been born again, we have been risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath. He says, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now let me read this in the Amplified, 17. Such things are only the shadow of things that are to come, And they have only a symbolic value, but the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it, belongs to Christ. Let no man defraud you by acting as an umpire and declaring you unworthy. Do you hear what I said? The Lord's telling you this morning. Don't you do it. Don't let the devil do it. Don't let other people do it. God said if he chose you, he qualified you. He anointed you, right? He appointed you. Not people. He goes on and he says, unworthy and disqualifying you for the prize, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he claims he has seen, vainly puffed up by his sensuous notions and inflated by his unspiritual thoughts and fleshly conceit, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, notice, supplied and knit together by means of its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. Now, go back over to 2 Timothy 1. There's a reason why I read all that. Did you notice what happens? What he was talking about? The scriptures up above, you know, some would say you don't eat meat, you know, and all this for conscience sake and all of that. But now Timothy here, he's being placed as a young pastor over people that are older than him, younger than him. I mean, y'all know what it's like at a church, right? So now let's go back. Well, let me say this first. I got to read this first, sorry. Let's go back here and read 1 and 2 in the King James Version. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, take it for yourself this morning. My dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. He says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Verse 4, I'm going to start in the Amplified. And when, as I recall your tears, I turn to see you so that I may be filled with joy. They had a relationship. He stayed with him day and night. He was like a father to Timothy. He says, I am calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God, in absolute trust and confidence in his power. Y'all hear what I said? Absolute confidence and trust in God's power. Where? God's power in you. He goes on, wisdom. How many knows you have the wisdom of God? And he said, if you need it, he said, ask for it in James, right? Ask for it, and he'll give it liberally. Hold your problems against you. He says, in God, I mean goodness, a faith. How many knows you got to believe God's good to you? You got to believe God's a good God. There's people out there today, they read some of the Old Testament, now they're an atheist and think that God was a killer. Or actually, they're agnostic or whatever you call it. That God's a killer. When I read the Old Testament, you know what I see? The mercy and the love of God and the grace of God. Just like the children of Israel. He showed them all the miracles before he took them out of Egypt. Then he got out there in Egypt, and out there in the wilderness, he said, just trust me. Just do what I tell you. Just trust me. I'm good. I've got a good plan for you. I'm taking you to a good place. But how many knows they're doing that thing of the flesh by carnal sense and reasoning, what it looks like, what it feels like, right? And 10 times, I believe it was, that he gave them opportunity. And God has foreknowledge. God knew what they was going to do before it ever happened. God's done played the tape. But in his mercy and his grace, Sandy, they will not stand before him and say, you didn't give us opportunity. That is, to me, that is the goodness and the grace of God. Knowing that I won't, but still presenting it to me that I could if I choose to. You go on here, God's goodness. Where did we get to? Oh, there it is. A faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am fully persuaded. He says, dwells in you also. There's some of you here this morning that I am fully persuaded that same kind of faith lives on the inside of you. And he goes on and he says, that is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. Now listen what he tells. Why do you think he's telling him all this? For the same reason God told us things before we come down here. I remember when Brother Brad prayed for us. It was the last service we was going to be at, and he prayed for us. Come up front, and he prayed for us, laid hands on us. And he told me, he said, the Lord said to tell you, you won't be disappointed. I thought, yay! You know how many times I've been disappointed. But most of the time, God will talk to you about the end, not the beginning or the middle. I have been disappointed and had to grow through it. Disappointed, had to grow through it. People come, people leave, circumstances, situations, all this stuff. But God was telling me before I ever left, you won't be disappointed, Teresa, with the outcome and the end result of what I'm going to do. Through you, in you, and for others. And I believe God's saying that with all my heart to some of y'all this morning. That God, this is the year that God is going to open up doors, and he's going to do things if we trust him that we ain't even thought about yet. And I believe the reason why he's telling this stuff to Timothy is because Timothy is being called out now into fivefold ministry. See, it's one thing to tote a box back there in the giveaway or hang up a shirt, you know. Most everybody, we can do that, you know, and we try to do that in the spirit and in love so we don't have no schism or anything, no strife going on. But then when you come over here and you're set in a specific office or whatever for ministry, say, for an example, fivefold, you've just changed into a whole new ballgame. And especially being a pastor. See, an evangelist, I can hit you, say whatever I want to. You may never see me again. But as a pastor, we see you every day, don't we, Brother Brad? Or three or four times a week, how many ever times you have church. And so I can only imagine, as a young man, the responsibility that Timothy may have felt and the fear that the enemy may have tried to place in his mind. And all he's doing is doing his best to love God and obey God, right? You are no different. He goes on here. This is when he tells him. He says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Looking like Jerry down there in front of the wall, right? Just cringed up, a little mouse or whatever. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Not mean as a snake, but bold as a lion. He goes on, timidity of cowardice, of craving and cringing and fawning and fear. But he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. He says, now he goes on and he says, do not blush or be ashamed then to testify to and for our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for his sake, but with me take your share of the suffering to which the preaching of the gospel may expose you. You're going to have to not care what people think about you. I'm telling you right now. There's no way that I could do this right now if I was still the person that I used to be when I first got saved. See, one reason why nobody had a problem with what I said, because I didn't say nothing. I just kept it all to myself. It wasn't that I didn't think it. I still had some of the same thoughts that I have now about situations or opinions or whatever. But I was so quiet and so shy and so timid and so coward, I didn't talk to much of anybody other than Scotty. You know, I mean, somebody say something to you, you know, and you just look down at the floor or whatever, you know, because you can't do that. How many knows if I'm going to do this job, that's got to go. Why? Because I'm going to have to say a lot of things that God says to say that everybody's not going to like. That's just like, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I'll go ahead. There's people have a problem with me just because of my gender. Y'all ain't saying nothing. All y'all women should have shouted right then. I have had people, not just one time, numerous times over the years, say, Scotty wasn't here and I'm doing 11 o'clock service, you know, and they're new people or they've been here a few times or whatever. Didn't come to Sunday school. They come in the door and they sit down, you know, and they're looking around. And I get up here and I start 11 o'clock service, you know, and I'm preaching, teaching, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. Anyway, bringing forth the word, they stand up and they turn around, they walk out. And I knew it was because of me. Y'all getting way too quiet. See, Johnny, some people ain't going to want to listen to you because of the color of your skin. You're going to have to not care. Now, we love God, and we want everybody to think good of us. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when it comes to God doing what God tells us to do, we can't care what anybody else thinks or says, but we must be in line with the Word now. I'm not talking about you get flaky and weird and all that kind of stuff. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? Well, I can't care if they get up and walk out. Well, then later I had a husband and wife come, you know, and same scenario again. I'm doing the 11 o'clock service, and they're sitting back there, and I could hear him, the man. I tell you right now, let's get out of here. That's a woman, blah, 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 blah. Out the door they went. You talk about try to intimidate. Y'all not saying nothing. Try to intimidate me in my mind. Get that fear in my mind. Well, I had to go to God and get this thing settled on the inside of me. Either God either called me or you did not. And I have got to know in here. So I went to God about it, and I went to the Word about it, and as far as I can tell, I'm supposed to be here, according to Scripture. So what happens now? Now they come in and they walk out. I'm like, you missed it. It's all I can say. Not because it's me and I'm that good, but I don't look at it. This is me. This is God. I tried to yield to Him, and God says and does whatever He does. But do you understand what I'm telling you? You can't. That's what He's talking about here. The intimidation, the timidity, the cowardness, the fawning, the cringing, and what other people think and what other people say and what other people think you ought to be and other people think you ought to do and what the devil thinks you ought to do and how I might offend somebody. Well, hey, I can't offend you if you don't let yourself be offended. I can slap you in your mouth and you don't have to get offended. No, I'm not going to. A lot of people has a way with a problem with the way I talk. I think I probably just say things the way people think them, but you're too scared to say them that way. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I never do on purpose. And how am I supposed to know if what I say is going to offend you or not? I said something the other day, and what I said was, I don't have a dog in that fight. Oh, I could have slapped them. They did not like that. How am I supposed to know you're not going to like that? I don't know. I'm not a mind reader. God didn't tell me not to say it. But when I found out they bothered them, I said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that in a bad way, you know. Well, you could say it different. So I had to stand there and think a minute, how else could I say that? Well, maybe let me say, I don't have any authority over there. Or I don't have an opinion about that. Does that sound softer? Does that help y'all? You get what I'm saying? That's what he's telling Timothy. Because Timothy is going to have to pastor this church. And he says, you can't do it yielding to fear. And let me tell you something. The Lord started working on me quite a while back. I guess a few years ago and stuff. Just like this. Just driving. Now, Scotty kept me home and everything. I will blame it on him. I couldn't drive. He didn't let me go nowhere, you know. Except around the block every now and then was he was at work. So I don't drive far places. It makes me nervous. Interstates make me nervous. Crowds, people, cars, zooming, tries to make me nervous, you know, and all this. And I'll be like, I can't drive down there, and I can't do that. No, I just can't do it. God started dealing with me a long time ago, a pretty good while ago, and he said, stop yielding to that fear. See, it doesn't matter how it comes, how the devil packages it. It may be one thing for you, Johnny. One thing different for you, Samantha. One thing different for me. It doesn't matter what the package is. It's the same thing. And so, y'all know my brother's in prison. So now I have to drive to Talladega. Got to haul the whole family to Talladega, you know. Or half of the family or whatever, you know. And I told him, I said, okay. What's the Bible say? When you get in all trials, tests, temptations, count it what? What does Scotty say call it? Woohoo! So I told him, I said, okay, I'm telling you my knees are nearly knocking, Monty, with that fear. I'm not yielding to it, but it's coming to my mind. You can't do it. You know you can't do it. Blah, blah, blah. Your head gets messed up and you get drunk and dizzy. And I mean, just on and on and on. And so I told him, I said, okay. I said, we're about to get on the interstate. And I said, when we get on the interstate, I said, I'm just going to punch it and go. I said, and y'all shout, woohoo! Y'all think that's funny, don't you? Well, that's okay. We'll see how funny it is when you actually do the word in your situation. I'll probably go, ha, 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 so funny to me. Right? Because your mind is funny to y'all. But you know what? I had to do that. Why? Because I have to, wherever fear or doubt comes to me, I cannot yield. Why? Because if I yield to it here, if I yield to it in that driving, or I yield to it in sickness, or If I yield to it in my finances, it's going to affect my future over here and where God's got for us to go. We cannot have it. We'll be intimidated by the enemy. We'll be intimidated by people. Listen, and even your own stuff. I'm telling you, most of the time I feel like I am probably, y'all just glow in the dark and I am the worst of the worst sinners around here. I'm telling you how I feel sometimes. I didn't say that that's how I am because I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. But do you know the devil will use that on you? Every place you feel you have an imperfection, everything that somebody tells you, you should have not have said, or you should have not have done, or you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't look like that, or talk like that, or whatever, you cannot yield to that. You just cannot do it. And that's what he's telling Timothy here. You must stop that. You must start dealing with it every place that you have come. Because I really believe that God, some of y'all, when I say this, you're going to know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all in here, you know there's things God's wanting you to do. But you are so scared. Got a bump, ping, can drop. Now, the reason why I said, when I say it, you know it in here. If your mind starts thinking about it, well, is it this, is it that? No, you're not the one. That's not it. When I said, just like Scotty, I was reminded when we're on our way to church, and Scotty says, I'm going to be a preacher. If I don't get this out of my heart, I'm going to be a preacher. And I'm like, oh, yeah, probably everybody thinks that, which I didn't. I never thought about being any kind of minister or whatever. And we go to church, and lo and behold, here comes Brother Smart, calls him out and says, God said to tell you that that's in your hearts of him. That's who I'm talking to this morning. That whenever God does that, hey, you have a confirmation, a witness on the inside of you here. God, I know you're telling me that. God, I know you're telling me that. And you're going to have to, by faith, step out. Take the first step on that. You know that you know. I'm not saying go kick doors open. You don't do that. God says he opens doors, right, that no man can shut, and he closes doors that no man can open. But when that door opens in front of you, and that's on the inside of you, you're going to have to, by faith, but there's going to be doubt there. You better believe it every time. Even with you know that you know that you know that you know. In here, there's going to come this little voice that says, what if it's not God? What if you really didn't hear it? What you gonna do? I know I heard God. I believe this is God, and I'm going to just do it. And there you go. And he just keeps parting the Red Sea for you as long as you keep going. But there's some of you this year, this is going to be your year. You're going to have to step out in faith and just do whatever you know that you've got in your heart to do. Let's finish reading this here. I ain't got maybe a minute. I probably can't even finish all this. Where do we get to, y'all remember? He says, do not blush or be ashamed. Testify to him, a prisoner for his sake, but with me, take your share of the suffering to which the gospel may expose you, and do it in the power of God. For it is he who delivered and saved us, all of us, right? And called us. He called every one of us, right? With a calling in itself holy and leading to holiness, to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. He did it not of anything of merit that we have done. It's just his plan. It's not because you're that great or because you're that good, but even the other when you're not that good. You get what I'm telling you? He goes on and he says, but because of and to further his own purpose, and grace, a merit of favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, eternal ages ago. It is that purpose and grace which he now has made known and has fully disclosed and made real to us through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death, glory to God, to light through the gospel. For the proclaiming of this gospel, I was appointed a heretic and an apostle, special messenger, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And this is why I am suffering as I do. Still I am not ashamed, for I know, perceive, have knowledge of, and am acquainted with him whom I have believed, adhered to, and trusted in, relied on, positively persuaded that he is able to guard and keep that which has been entrusted to me and committed to him until that day. He says, hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching, and that's what we do. Brother Brad taught us, we have it, and now we teach you, and then you go and you teach others. He goes on and he says here, teaching with which you have heard from me, and all the faith and love which are for us in Christ Jesus. He says, guard and keep with the greatest care the precious and excellency adapted truth, which has been entrusted to you by the help of the Holy Spirit who makes his home in us. And I've got to stop because we're actually a couple minutes past time. But I want to tell you this morning, just like, well, I already told you. And you know, you don't need somebody to come and prophesy to you. You have the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. He bears witness with the truth inside your spirit. So I want to encourage you, when you get that, just take a leap of faith and do whatever he's telling you to do. You know, like Scotty, he didn't know how to go on the street. So what's he do? He just gets on the street and stuff starts happening. Does anybody have anything quickly, comments or anything?